The most common surgery in America is not shown on television, but you'll see it next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined today by our good friend Mark Crutcher, founder and president of Life Dynamics, from whose studio we tape these programs. Mark, good to be with you again.
Thank you, sir.
You have given us a new educational tool that actually shows people what the abortion procedures, or the two most commonly performed procedures,
right,
are like. Tell us about this new
tool.
Yeah,
we noticed that we started this project out as a response to something we'd heard from directors of crisis pregnancy centers, where they have a problem with a girl comes to see them or a woman comes to see them. They convince her not to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. They follow up with her a few days later, and she had an abortion. And the problem with it is that they're very often not dealing with the decision maker. We know from Planned Parenthood, for example, they put out their own statistics showing that most women who have abortions are being coerced into it by someone else, usually a male. So the CPC director is not really sitting in front of the person who's making the decision. So they turn that person around, and then the person who is making the decision is not impacted. We wanted something that they could put into the person's hand that they could leave with, that they could show to the decision maker and say, here, this is why I don't want to have an abortion. And we wanted people to understand how abortions are done. And we also saw that a lot of crisis pregnancy workers didn't really know much about abortion, how the procedures are done. Mm-hmm. So we wanted a non-graphic, medically accurate depiction of the two most common abortion procedures, the most common for first trimester and the most common for second trimester. And so we produced this animation. And we make it available to crisis pregnancy centers for $1.50 per DVD if they buy them in lots of 25. Mm-hmm. And that they can afford, at that price, they can afford to give them out to clients to use to affect whoever they're listening to.
And what we're about to see, because we've decided in this program just to drop that whole video right in the middle of the program, let our viewers watch it, and any viewer will be able to obtain it as well.
Absolutely.
If they wish. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to thank you for producing this. And brothers and sisters, let's now look at this animation video of the two most common abortion procedures.
Through the use of non-graphic animation, this DVD depicts the two most common methods of induced abortion. It also includes a partial list of the injuries and complications known to occur as a result of these procedures. In a pregnant uterus, the placenta supplies oxygen and nutrients to the fetus and carries away carbon dioxide and other wastes. Attached to the placenta is the umbilical cord, which carries blood back and forth between the fetus and the placenta. The fetus and the fluid surrounding it are contained within the amniotic sac. Suction curettage is the type of procedure most frequently used to accomplish abortions in the first trimester. This procedure begins with the insertion of a speculum, which enlarges the opening of the vagina. After painkillers, normally lidocaine or xylocaine, are injected around the cervix, a sharp grasping instrument called a tenaculum is locked onto the cervix and pulled until the uterus is brought in line with the vaginal canal. In order to accommodate the instruments necessary to continue the abortion, the cervical opening is then enlarged through the use of cervical dilators. These dilators come in a range of sizes, and progressively larger ones are used to achieve greater dilation. In the procedure depicted here, two sizes are being used. Next, a hollow plastic tube called a cannula is inserted into the uterus. This tube is attached to a suction machine by way of a flexible hose. As the machine is turned on, the fetus, amniotic sac, and fluid will be sucked out of the uterus. Then, tong-like devices called forceps are used to remove any fetal parts or tissue missed during this vacuuming process, including whatever remains of the umbilical cord or placenta. Once that's completed,
A metal rod with a loop on the end, called a curette, is scraped along the inside wall of the uterus to dislodge any remaining tissue or placental matter. After that, the suction cannula is again inserted into the uterus in order to remove the tissue that was dislodged by the curette. When the uterus is empty, the tenaculum is released, and the uterus returns to its normal position. After the speculum is removed, the procedure is complete. For second and third trimester abortions, the most common procedure is dilation and evacuation, or D&E. Although the instruments used in a D&E are basically the same as those used in a suction curettage, the procedures differ in several important ways. First, because the fetus is considerably larger at this stage of pregnancy, a greater degree of cervical dilation is required. This dilation is accomplished in multiple steps, which means that most D&E abortions take more than one day to complete. On the first day, the patient's vaginal opening is enlarged through the use of a speculum. Then a tenaculum is locked onto the cervix and pulled until the uterus is brought in line with the vaginal canal. Next, the cervical dilation process begins with the insertion of a compressed seaweed product called laminaria. Before insertion, and it's not unusual for more than one laminaria stick to be inserted at a time, the depth of the cervical canal is measured with a thin metal rod called a sound. Once that's done, forceps are used to insert the laminaria and place gauze over the mouth of the cervix. The tenaculum is then released and the speculum is removed. As the laminaria absorbs moisture from the cervix, it expands and dilates the cervical opening. This process generally takes several hours to complete, but in the case of very late-term procedures, it can take 2 or 3 days. In some instances, subsequent laminaria installations are required in order to achieve the necessary dilation. After the stage of the dilation process has been completed, the speculum is again inserted and the gauze removed. The tenaculum is then used to pull the uterus back in line with the vaginal canal, and the laminaria is removed. Next, greater dilation is achieved with the same progressively larger cervical dilators used in the suction curettage abortion. Once the cervix is sufficiently dilated, a cannula is inserted and the amniotic sac and fluid are sucked out. Even though the cervix is far more dilated in a D&E than in a suction curettage, the fetus is so much larger that it must be dismembered inside the womb and removed in pieces. Forceps are used to accomplish this and to remove the remainder of the umbilical cord. After this process has been completed, a curette is scraped along the inside wall of the uterus to dislodge any remaining tissue or placental matter. Then, the suction cannula is again used to remove whatever tissue was dislodged by the curette.
When the uterus is empty, the tenaculum is released, the speculum is removed, and the procedure is complete. The female reproductive system is a delicate environment where mistakes are not well tolerated. Even the smallest errors can have serious and sometimes fatal consequences. In both suction curettage and D&D procedures, the most common source of injury is tissue or fetal parts that are missed and left in the uterus. This situation often goes unnoticed and therefore untreated. In those cases, if the material is not passed naturally, it can decompose inside the patient's uterus and trigger a septic infection. Even with proper medical treatment, if this infection attacks the woman's reproductive system, she may lose her ability to have additional children. In some cases, the patient will experience bleeding that is heavy enough to require a transfusion or hysterectomy. Occasionally, the infection will enter the woman's bloodstream and attack vital organs. In the most serious of these instances, she will die. Uterine scarring is common in both suction curettage and D&E procedures. It is generally caused by the curette as it scrapes tissue from the wall of the uterus. If the lining of the uterus is damaged during this process, the result can be endometritis or Asherman syndrome, either of which can lead to infertility. Uterine perforation is a potentially fatal injury that occurs when instruments are pushed through the wall of the uterus. Also, if the open end of the cannula inadvertently attaches to the uterine wall, the vacuum level generated by the suction machine can be enough to suck a hole in the uterus. The bleeding which accompanies a uterine injury can be heavy enough to require a transfusion or hysterectomy. A uterine perforation can also create a weak spot in the uterus, which ruptures during a future pregnancy. Like uterine scarring, a uterine perforation increases the risk that the patient's subsequent pregnancies will be ectopic, end in miscarriage, or be complicated by high-risk conditions such as placenta previa. When the tenaculum is used to pull the uterus into position, a laceration can develop at the point where it was attached to the cervix. The cervix can also be ripped if the metal dilators are too large or used with too much force. On the other hand, too little dilation can result in the cervix being torn when the instruments used later in the procedure are forced through the undersized cervical opening. A cervical injury can also result if the suction machine is activated before the open end of the cannula is fully inside the uterus. The suction machine used in abortion procedures can generate enough force to rip a hole in the patient's cervix or vaginal wall. Injuries to the cervix may require a blood transfusion, hysterectomy, or other major surgery. For other cervical injury patients, the cervix may be damaged or weakened to the point that any future pregnancies will either miscarry or require a cerclage. Because the uterus is located near the bladder and intestines, a uterine perforation will often result in lacerations to them or other nearby organs. For example, intestines are sometimes pulled through the perforation into the uterus and out through the vagina. This can cause a loss of bowel function, resulting in a colostomy. In other cases, the woman's bladder may be lacerated or punctured. In those instances, the patient may lose the ability to control her urine flow. Another nearby maternal structure is the uterine artery. This close proximity makes it particularly vulnerable to damage anytime a uterine perforation or cervical injury occurs. This is a critical issue because the uterine artery carries such an enormous volume of blood during pregnancy that lacerations to it can be fatal. Another type of collateral damage relates to bacterial infection and sexually transmitted diseases. The instruments used during an abortion procedure will often spread these types of infections into the woman's upper genital tract. This can cause pelvic inflammatory disease, which has now been identified as a major contributing factor to both infertility and ectopic pregnancy. In both suction curettage and D&E procedures, injuries such as a uterine perforation or cervical laceration create the possibility of massive blood loss or hemorrhage. D&D abortions can also produce a potentially fatal hemorrhage, even when there is no underlying injury inflicted on the patient. In addition to hemorrhaging, embolisms can occur when the abortion procedure causes air, amniotic fluid, or blood clots to enter the patient's bloodstream. This material then circulates through the woman's body, and in the majority of cases, she will die.
Autopsies performed on patients who have died from abortion-induced embolisms often reveal parts of the fetus, such as hair and bone shards in the deceased woman's brain, lungs, heart, liver, or kidneys. Another blood-related complication seen in D&E abortions is disseminated intravascular coagulation, or DIC. Similar to an embolism, DIC occurs when the abortion procedure causes foreign matter to enter the patient's bloodstream. This can radically alter the clotting mechanisms of her blood and result in major long-term damage to vital organs. The most dangerous aspect of DIC is that it can develop even when the abortion procedure is performed properly. If not treated immediately and correctly, DIC will usually cause the woman's death. A significant percentage of abortion injuries and complications are related to the painkillers injected into the cervix or the drugs used for anesthesia. These chemicals can produce breathing difficulties, irregular heartbeats, convulsions, seizures, or cardiorespiratory arrest. When those events occur, the woman involved is at an elevated risk of sustaining permanent brain damage, lapsing into a coma, being left in a permanent vegetative state, or dying. Following a first trimester suction curettage abortion, the symptoms of an undiagnosed ectopic or tubal pregnancy are often either overlooked or dismissed as normal postoperative discomfort or cramping. That can be a fatal mistake. When a woman has an abortion while carrying an undiagnosed ectopic pregnancy, she will almost inevitably remain pregnant after the procedure. In most cases, the fetus will continue to grow inside her fallopian tube until the tube ruptures and causes a massive hemorrhage. This will often result in the woman bleeding to death before emergency treatment can be rendered. In less serious cases, she may lose the fallopian tube and significantly decrease her ability to have children in the future. The laminaria used to accomplish the initial dilation in D&E abortions can cause cervical injuries. These compressed seaweed sticks do not always expand evenly, sometimes becoming larger on the ends than in the middle. When that happens, the risk of a cervical laceration increases. Laminaria can also be broken off or become stuck in the cervix. In other cases, a laminaria is accidentally pushed through the side wall of the cervix during insertion. If that situation goes undetected, the laminaria will rip the cervix as it expands. The symptoms of an abortion injury are not always evident at the time of the procedure. For example, if uterine scarring has left a woman sterile, she may not know about it until she tries to get pregnant sometime in the future. There is also a growing body of evidence that having an abortion may significantly increase a woman's risk of developing breast cancer later in life. Additionally, other medical research indicates that elective abortion may be linked to an increased incidence of cervical and colon cancer. It is also known that there can be profound psychological and emotional consequences associated with the abortion decision, and that these problems may not be attributed to the abortion until many years later. Women who undergo abortions are exposed to many serious and life-threatening injuries that were not described in this DVD. Women should not consider elective abortion until they are fully aware of its physical and emotional risks, as well as the alternatives that are available to them.
Well, Mark, that certainly is quite disturbing and quite sobering.
Right, yeah, and you know, people need to understand it. It is a child that dies in one of these. But also the woman's at great risk. And so we had two OBGYNs, board-certified OBGYNs, review our text and say this is medically accurate for how the procedure is done and what the complications are.
You know, I've sometimes said that we don't even have an abortion debate going in this country because we're not on equal ground. When people use the word, the first they need to understand what does the word represent.
Right.
And so a video like this is just showing people this is where we start. Let's make sure we understand what we mean when we say the word abortion.
Absolutely.
This
has
been a tremendous service. So, again, people can get this from Life Dynamics?
Yeah, the DVD is available for $9.95 from Life Dynamics. And again, if CPCs want to order them, they can get them for $1.50 each and lots of 25.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for doing it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for all that you do for the pro-life effort.
Thank you.
And thank you, brothers and sisters, for what you do as well. We want you to spread the word about what you have just seen and heard. And by all means, be in contact with us about getting this animation video, because from the youngest to the oldest, People have to see what it is that we mean when we say abortion. And I'm convinced America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. You can help make that happen now that you've seen it for yourself. Stay with us on our Gospel of Life program. We're going to go to our action segment, and you'll be given after this break more ideas about what you can do to help build a culture of life. Please stay with us. God bless you.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome to our action segment, where I'm joined by Janet Moran, our associate director, and we have a special painting to tell you about today that you can promote in order to spread the pro-life message. Janet?
Yes, the painting is called Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. And this painting was done by the artist Carol Hall. And she actually is an evangelical missionary. And her husband currently are in Japan, where they're doing bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to missionaries as a missionary spirit in Japan. But she painted this painting a number of years ago, made it available to us at Gospel of Life. And we've now created a great poster of this painting. And her hope is that it will help spread the message of the damage abortion is doing, the killing of the children. And we'd like to encourage people now to take a look at this poster. And as we're describing it, I'd like them to think of ways and places that they might hang this inspiring painting and really get people to think about the abortion issue and what is going on.
Basically, the photo is divided into two scenes, Earth's scene on the bottom and Heaven's scene on the top. Earth's trash, Heaven's treasure, refers to babies. And you see at the bottom a garbage bin where outside of an abortion mill where babies who have been aborted are literally thrown away. And we know that this has literally happens. The babies thrown away on Earth are nevertheless received by Jesus, named and welcomed into the playground and the nursery of Heaven.
And that's what you see there, you know, in the painting, is that the angels are taking the babies out of the dumpster, basically, and bringing them up to the Lord Jesus, wrapped in a yellow blanket, signifying God's glory. And there's the Lord there welcoming the babies into Heaven.
Now, besides that contrast between Earth and Heaven, you also see another contrast right within the scene on Earth. Because while the abortion mill is a place of sadness, and you see that the girl who's leaving has sadness on her face, and we've talked very often on Gospel of Life about the sadness that abortion brings, nevertheless, next to, across rather, from the abortuary is a toy store full of life and joy and surprises. And in front of the toy store, you see a green tree blossoming. But the on the other hand, the tree in front of the abortuary has no leaves on it and no life.
Right. And then, of course, you know, as the Lord Jesus is accepting the babies up into Heaven from the angels, he's giving them each a name and blessing them. And while those children had no name on Earth, they now have a name with the Lord in Heaven.
Now, how can people use a beautiful painting like this?
Well, you know, so often people say, well, you know, we don't want to have a pro-life billboard here in our church, or we don't want to have a poster in a school. It might upset people. But this painting is so pleasing to the eye, so beautiful to behold, yet it gives such a powerful imagery that they can put this in their church vestibule, in their school hall, in their center where they have a collation after services, as many places as they can think of. This this poster can hang, and there, just people gazing upon it itself, it will get the message across about what abortion is doing to these children.
If they contact us directly at gospelofliferadio.com, we can send this to them in any quantity that they wish.
That's right. And at the same time, getting that poster from us at the same time helps support the missionary work of the Evangelical Church in Japan, Carol Hall. We still, you know, make a little small donation to her, too. And so, therefore, they're actually supporting missionary work in Japan at the same time, plus giving a pro-life message.
The painting can be viewed more extensively, and the written explanation that we've just briefly touched upon can be read in its fullness on our website, again, gospelofliferadio.com.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. If you want to listen to our programs online, you can receive the audio of Gospel of Life on gospelofliferadio.com. And also, when you go to our website, you'll see that you can send us your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your witnesses and testimonies, and we may well call you back and have you as a call-in guest on our program. Go to gospelofliferadio.com, and you'll see how to reach us. Also, brothers and sisters, we rely on the financial help of people just like you to get these programs out, to assist spreading pro-life literature to the churches, beautiful paintings like the one we've described to you today, and many other works that are saving lives from the tragedy of abortion. So consider Gospel of Life Ministries as part of your giving for the kingdom of God. We thank our friends at Life Dynamics for letting us use their studios here in Denton, Texas, and we invite you to join us again next week on Gospel of Life. Spread the word to your family and friends, and let's pray for one another.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked,
and I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospelofliferadio.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website and thank you.